Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is KELB 100.5 FM. Our studio is located here at Heritage Square, 113 Williamsburg Street in Lake Charles, Louisiana. We also have an affiliated station, KEBL 105.5 FM. They're located at Parkview Baptist Church, 1623 Picard Road in Salford, Louisiana. And as always, you can go to KELBRadio.com. And ladies and gentlemen, I have a piece of information for you. From what I understand, and I just listened to the radio, our main transmitter site is back in operation now, ladies and gentlemen. So you can now use the 100.5 radio station. It's up and running. It sounds really wonderful. I think Brother Barry and Brother Ken, they put all that together yesterday and got it running, so we're in real good shape. So you have the 100.5 FM and the KEBL 105.5 FM. So now the area is covered again fully, hopefully. And as always, you can go to KELB Radio also. And ladies and gentlemen, with that, we're going to start our first segment of Church and State.
Coming up next on KELB, Church and State. In the first segment of Church and State, our guests are church pastors, Christian laymen, and leaders, keeping you up to date on what's going on in the local Christian community. In our second segment, we bridge the gap between church and state with guests who represent local government, local businesses, educators, or other special guests who will keep us in touch with what we, the people, need to know and what we can do to be responsible citizens of our government. Our aim is to present the Christian viewpoint on the affairs of the state. Now, with our first segment of Church and State, here is your host.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'm now going to hand the microphone over to Brother Michael Forrest in Church and State. Good morning, Brother Michael. You're now on the air.
Good morning, Brother Ray. Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. And on this nice, clear morning in southwest Louisiana.
Absolutely. You had ice on the windshield this morning, Mike.
I did too.
I couldn't believe that. Turn my windshield wipers on. Oh, no.
But you know what? I mean, I'm grateful, you know, to be here in southwest Louisiana.
Yes.
When you see what the weather's doing in some of the parts of the northern United States with the ice, mm-hmm, and the wind, mm-hmm, and minus 40 degrees, what, below zero chill factor. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like to be in that? I mean,
oh yeah. You know, the first thing I would do if I lived up there, I'd move south. That's what I would do, Brother Mike.
Yeah. Right with you.
Yeah. Amen. So you know, I'm thankful to be here in southwest Louisiana.
Yes, absolutely.
You know. But we want to welcome you, and you know, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And you know, it doesn't matter what you're going through. You know, you might have got out of bed on the wrong side of the bed, so to speak. And you know, things might not be going right for you. You might be having trials, but you know what? If you remember that Jesus Christ is Lord, He's Lord of every situation, and the Word of God says, cast your cares upon the Lord, for He cares about you. And you know, you don't have to strive. You don't have to be anxious about anything. You know, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, you can go to Him, come to the throne of grace with boldness, the Word of God says.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
So, you know, this morning we have a good friend of mine that I've been knowing for a number of years. We've done prison ministry together, and he is very active in the community. You might see him. If you see someone with a cross on the streets of Lake Charles, it could be, very well could be, Brother Sam Dolan.
Could be. Could be, Brother
very
Mike.
Very well could be.
Yeah. Got a notorious history with doing that.
Yes, amen. And you know what, that Brother Sam, that cross gets people's attention.
It really does.
You know,
you can't change the channels of that station. You know, you can't turn it off. No, you know, it gets your eye full and gets in the back of that conscience and the mind. And
so immediately, I mean, when somebody sees the cross, you know, what's the reaction? I mean, what am I going to do about the cross? Cross is it's a living reality.
Absolutely.
I mean. It's a fact. Jesus Christ died on that cross.
Absolutely. Well, I think one of the most, I guess, incredible things to me is what happens with the children when the children see it. Because I know after they see it and they look at their mom and dad, they're going to say, what's that?
Yes.
And there has to come an explanation. There has to come a definition of what that cross is. Yeah.
Right.
So I have one that's just a cross and then another one with Christ on it, which fully defines that. So it even makes it even more effective to see the crucifixion and to see what the Son of God coming from heaven and laying down His glory and coming down for His love of humanity that He created Himself to gather Him to Himself, to bring Him with Him forever. Yeah. Amen. And all it takes is a giving up of self, Mike.
It is.
You know, and that's where some of the complexities of the world begin, as self. It brings the depression and the anxiety and the worry.
Yeah.
And if you could just consider a moment where you would take your life out of your own hands and say, all I have is the next moment. I don't have yesterday, and I don't have even this afternoon.
Right.
Some appointment or some situation.
Right.
All I have is right now, and so I'm going to do the right thing and spend it with God.
Amen.
Let my conscience and let my heart and let my decisions be converted, and say, God, you know, will you get in the middle of this, because I have no way of dealing with it or changing it myself.
Amen.
So I'm asking you to come in the middle of this thing, in the middle of my life, and do what only you can do.
Amen.
And so with Him all things are possible.
That's right.
With Him all things are possible, Brother Mike. Just
Amen.
Changing a situation or a circumstance around. I had an event in a house that I was selling, and the plumber had made a mistake with laying down some water line. And the guy on the property told me, he said, as long as you have it, you can leave the water line. But when you move and sell it, I'm going to dig it up if you don't move it. And it was under the ground. What difference? I know I had trespassed on the man's line, but you know what I'm saying. We both had our own little thing about it.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, the deadline had come to deal with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Paperwork was moving on after selling the house, and so I called him up and I said, "Well, look," I said, "why don't you meet me up there and we'll deal with this and you know, see what we can come up with." So I even called the plumber, had to write him a check to show up to see what we were going to do. And so anyway, he just really had a different look on his face, and me and the real estate lady had been praying. And he said, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
He said, don't worry about it.
Uh-huh.
He said, just leave it like it is.
And
just in that little bit of time, God can do that with whoever is listening, whatever situation, whatever circumstance, whatever personal or family, a relationship with a child. Just leave it with God and say, God, you do what you do best.
Amen.
You convert, you save, you heal, you deliver, you set free, you make new, you change the direction of things, change the course over the history of time. God has intervened and done great things in our lives. He excels in doing that with humans.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And this morning, you know, we're going to talk about some things that we believe are very, very relevant to you as believers. And you know, we have people, some of you that are listening to this broadcast, you know, maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know him. But that is our the goal and the purpose of this station is to share the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes, absolutely.
To those that don't know him, it's God's will that you be saved and that you come to the knowledge of the truth. It's not God's will that anyone would be lost.
That's correct.
You know, and I just want to open up before we get into our discussion in prayer.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us life, Father, and life more abundantly, Father. And Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are the reason why we live. And Lord, in you we live and move and have our being. Yes. So, Father, we are dependent and reliant upon your Holy Spirit, Lord. On this program, Lord, everything that we say, everything that we discuss, and so this morning, Father, we just ask you that you would bring to our remembrance, Lord, by your Spirit, Lord, the things that you would have us to discuss and to say on this morning, dear God, that would be, Lord, for the building up of the body of Christ and for the glory of God. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Sam, before we get into our discussion this morning, I'd like to make an announcement, and many of you are already aware of this, but Pastor Stephen Perry of Glad Tidings Church has gone on to be with the Lord, and he passed away. He went to be with Jesus Friday. I believe it was Friday morning. And today is his funeral. There's a visitation at Glad Tidings Church. I'm not sure.
11 to 1.
It's 11 o'clock?
11 to 1.
Okay. Yeah, the visitation is 11 o'clock to 1, and then the funeral will begin at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, even if you're not able to come to the church to celebrate the life of Pastor Perry, we ask you to please be in prayer for his family and for the Glad Tidings Church family. They really do need your prayers right now. You know, they're grieving for the loss of their pastor. This kind of, he fought a battle with cancer, but even if you ran in to Pastor Perry just a few weeks ago, you would never know, you know, because he was always upbeat, strong, and he never gave any indication that you know, he was going to pass from this life. But we do celebrate his life because he's a man of God.
Oh, absolutely.
A man of the
Word. Absolutely. And, you know, nothing was ever said. I mean, he went to Medicaid, you know, to Anderson's to do what he had to do. But the whole time that this pressure was on him, he became more powerful in the Word of God. He became more powerful in how he lived his life. He became more full of light and full of the glory of God as he moved, you know, as time went on. His sermons became more awesome and more deeper and striving for the body of Christ to break its current boundaries and break what it's currently doing and move out into the realms of God, to move out into capturing true Christianity. And right now he's dancing in the presence of Jesus Christ. He is having his heart's desire. Pastor Patty talked Sunday morning, and the beauty and the wonder of her talk to the people was just outstanding, that her husband was a great man of God, and his goal was for the body of Christ to become the true body of Christ, for Christ to walk among us.
Amen.
So
and you know,
there's no really loss.
No.
That there's the gain, you know?
That's
and
it.
Our gain is the man of God that he became and the man of God that he was.
That's it.
Truly, yes, absolutely.
That's
so
and you know, Sam, I know that Pastor Stephen Perry was standing for his healing. He believed in the healing power of God.
Yes.
He believed in. And I can't explain why, you know, somebody that's standing for their healing is not healed. Because I know it's God's will to heal.
Yes.
There are a lot of Christians out there that maybe you have some sickness, some disease. Cancer is just almost out of control in this area.
Mm-hmm.
But it's God's will to heal cancer.
Yes.
Because God did not put cancer on anyone.
Yes.
Cancer is a work of the devil. The Word of God clearly says that the enemy, the devil, has come to kill, steal, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus Christ has come that we might have life and life more abundantly.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's
a fine line that we walk there, Mike. Because you look at the past about Christ himself being crucified on the cross. They said, well, why don't you come from down there and heal yourself?
Right.
But that wasn't the purpose.
Right.
And look at the martyrs of all the apostles.
Right.
Well, why would you take these powerful and wonderful Christians, starting with Stephen, and have them murdered? That they would lose their lives because it was the greater cause.
Right.
And one of the words, things I remember, because that if the devil would have known what he did by crucifying the Christ, he'd have never done it. When they saw the smoke of the fire from the martyrs going up, they said that was the fire of revival that lit the hearts of the Christians.
Amen.
And more were turned to God. More were turned to Christ. A fire was burning deeply in the hearts of the people for the truth of Christianity. And that's really where it's at. So if healing comes, I'm healing. Healing does come. If I end up in the presence of Christ, I end up in the presence of the glory of my God and Savior, you see. So there's glory in one way.
That's right.
And then there's glory in the other way. Either way, he gets the glory, you see. And
but
that's the way we have to, thy kingdom come, what?
Thy will be done.
Thy will be done, above my understanding.
Right.
You see. And so we can glory in that and not be anxious or worried or complexed about it, that we glory in Christ, however it comes out, you see. And that's the delight of the Christian heart. I'm not complexed with that. I'm complexed whether I'm walking on the earth or walking in heaven with him.
Right.
Either way. And so that's why we have to determine what the depth of our walk and our faith in Christ is.
Right.
Yeah, it's not that I'm losing this person.
Right.
But I am changed by their example of their life and that they're now in the presence of God.
Amen. You know, many people, I know of people, you know of people, you've probably prayed with people before that have been healed of cancer.
Absolutely.
You know, cancer is something that strikes fear in people's hearts because cancer is looked at as an incurable disease.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, doctors today, they've come a long way. And there are many types of cancer that are treatable. And if they catch it early, it's treatable.
Mm-hmm.
But cancer is not an incurable disease to God.
Yes.
The name of Jesus is greater than cancer.
That's right.
You know? And so that is wisdom, what you said, Sam. You know, I can't explain why some are healed. and some are not. But I do know that Jesus is healer, is a healer,
mm-hmm.
and I know that he bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases.
Sure,
and with his stripes we are healed.
That's right.
And you know, we need, I mean, I'm not saying, telling anybody not to go to the doctor, but I'm saying, as a Christian, put faith in God.
Sure.
Put faith in what the Word says.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we have to be, if we keep pure hearts and pure minds and we haven't deliberated to lock ourselves into something, that God's will is preeminent. And
right.
I can't say how exactly this is going to turn
right.
out. I remember a story. Right. There was a beautiful couple that I used to go to church with, and for some reason, he's a big, strong guy. I mean, just athlete
yeah.
and everything, just beautiful people. He became ill and was in the hospital, and it
uh-huh.
was coming to that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, the nurse and one of our friends was standing outside the door, and they heard some conversation going on.
Uh-huh.
And so they got closer to the door, and he was talking with Jesus. He was talking with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and he came for his introduction. He came to precede him out, you see. So
right.
what is more glorious? That glory of healing is actually for almost an evangelistic tool for the lost and for the church to be reignited and for the lost to see the fire of the glory of the salvation of Christ on the cross,
yes.
you see. The other glory is that he's in the presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. So to separate the glories, you can't separate those glories.
That's right.
You know, because it's all about the kingdom of God and how we go through this word of God, how we lost these people of martyrs.
Yes.
But yet the church ignited into this beautiful fire
yes.
of revival and restoration.
Yes.
You see? And so we can't say one is greater than another.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. You know, Sam, you know, we in America, okay, you know, we preach the gospel of salvation,
mm-hmm.
but we limit salvation to being receiving eternal life and being saved from your sins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most important thing. I mean, you know, to go from darkness to light,
sure.
From death to life, and receive salvation and receive eternal life, knowing that you're going to be living with God forever.
Sure,
that,
absolutely.
And that's the greatest part.
Sure.
But salvation, the salvation that Jesus has bought and paid for, it includes a lot more
sure.
than just eternal life.
And just moving on from that, you see, is that Jesus did not preach, go out and save folks. When he preached the gospel, he said,
These signs
shall follow them.
Shall follow
that
them.
Belief, he said, wherever this gospel is preached, these signs will follow them. He didn't say go out and make church members.
That's right.
And he didn't say go out and make a doctrine or go out and make different names of churches. He said go out and make disciples
Amen.
Of all men.
Amen.
And that's a whole totally different picture. In fact, we were talking a while back about what is the difference between a disciple and a Christian and a believer. If I go out on the street and I ask somebody, well, are you a believer? Well, can you be a believer and not a disciple? And what is the difference? And why do we make that separation? Because
right.
we would say a disciple is what? Well, he's a missionary that's gone into deep, darkest Africa. Well, what about going down in the deep, darkest part of your city, you know, or to your neighbor? What is the difference? Because a lost soul is a lost soul.
Yes.
And my discipleship brings me to knowing the glorious gospel of Christ.
Amen.
I don't have to have pray with that person to be saved. All I have to do is plant that seed.
That's right.
Some plant, some water.
That's right.
Some plow, some harvest. And so we all work together in this endeavor beyond the name of a denomination or beyond. What you do is, am I a faithful, well-trained disciple?
Amen.
And that's what advances the kingdom.
Amen.
A well-trained disciple is what? He's a carrier of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
What he said.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, Sam, we're going to continue this
sure.
discussion.
Great discussion.
We're going to go to a little, Brother Ray is going to take us to a short break, and we will be right back.
Yeah, we thank you, Brother Ray.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about how the president highlighted the political differences on the issue of life.
The president really, in some ways, was kind of like, similar to the choice that Moses put before the people. Choose life and a blessing, or choose death and a curse. And if you think about it, that's really what this choice is about. It's about choosing not just the sanctity of life, but the understanding the value of life and keeping us from going over the edge into a society and a culture that will tolerate infanticide. And then you have that choice, or you have the choice of a culture of death, despair, and destruction. And I think it's being made so clear, so clear.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is KELB 100.5 FM, along with our affiliated station, KEBL 105.5 FM. And as always, you can go to KELBRadio.com. I'm now going to return you back to Brother Michael Forrest from Church and State. Brother Michael, you're now on the air.
Thank you, Brother Ray. And Sam Dolan is with me here in the studio, and we're just having a real good discussion. When we went to our break, we were talking about making disciples. And, you know, a lot of times we try to divide things up. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or we'll say somebody has received Jesus Christ as your Savior, but they haven't made Jesus Christ their Lord. Well, you know something? God never broke it up like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, you know, the way that Jesus taught it, the way that the apostles taught it, you know, it's all the way.
Sure.
You know, if you're going to be a believer, if you're going to be a Christian, it's just take it for granted.
Sure.
You're going to be a disciple.
You're going to follow Jesus.
You're going to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus.
Absolutely. And you know, there's some terminology in here, Mike, that sometimes get misconstrued because it's so lightly used. Let's take the example of being born again. What does that mean? I came into this in one situation, and when I came out, he said, if any man is in Christ, he's what?
He's a
new creature.
Right.
All things are passed away, and what is that? The realization of the glory of Christ in me.
Yes,
it's not that I have come to the realization that I now go to a new church down the street where we can now have family night and a men's dinner and a barbecue.
Right.
It's that now I have come to a realization of the power of the salvation of God to touch the lost.
Amen.
And you and I can go back into our conversions. And when we were converted, it was how do I witness to somebody? I'd witness to anything that moved.
Amen.
And that's what it was about. The first person I remember witnessing to, I was working in the hardware store, and this guy worked at the mobile home place. I witnessed to him. Over the weekend, he got saved, gave his life to Jesus.
Yeah.
He went home, and guess what? His father kicked him out of the house.
Yeah.
He came back and told me. I said, what? He said, you're not coming into this house with all that.
Right.
But he was converted.
Amen.
He went home and told his father. And he paid the price for that. You
Amen.
See? So we think it's all love and roses, you know,
no.
and, you know, having ushers and all this. It's not.
No.
It's about, he said, who are these at the throne whose robes are washed in blood?
Mm-hmm.
These are they who were beheaded for the word of God and for their testimony.
Right.
And see, that's the bottom line, Brother Mike,
right.
is in that conversion experience, have I been converted to Christ and my eyes are open where I see that glory
right.
of God in that conversion?
Right.
Yeah, see.
You know, Sam, you know, we have the idea that the way that the church grows is for us to go out and invite people to our church
mm-hmm.
to come and hear a sermon and then go down to the altar and receive Christ, and then we have our church, we have more members in our church. But God's way of growing the church is for us to become disciples and for us to go out.
That's right.
And for us to win the lost.
That's
and for
right.
us to disciple others. And then they grow in the Lord and grow up and become disciples. And then they win others. And that's the way, that's God's idea of the way the church grows.
I had a note here, Brother Mike, that I was looking at, and I had mentioned it to you earlier. I said, what it is now is that Christ walks in me in the streets of our city, mm-hmm. just like Christ walked the streets there. He said that, that we would be perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect, that we should walk as he walked. Why would he put those things in front of us and not expect us to be there? He said that a man is not greater than his master,
right?
But that he would be as mm-hmm. his master. Mm. And that's what that discipleship, that's what the disciple does. He doesn't care whether he's in Kroger's or Lowe's. It doesn't matter if he's at the courthouse. It doesn't matter if he's wherever he's at Burger King.
Right.
His eyes are always, his antennas are up. His eyes are on what is God doing. Not artificially, but just in a way that my priority is the kingdom of God. I'm enjoying my wife and family. I'm enjoying my doggone bacon junior cheeseburger.
Amen.
But in the meantime,
yes.
if there's somebody who comes by that needs ministry, that I am aware enough to say, how are you doing today? It's just that casual, just that cordial.
Amen.
How are you doing today? How's things going for you and your family?
Amen.
And you would be surprised that door that you open up.
Amen.
And like this one particular, she said, I hurt so bad. My arthritis is so bad today. Mm-hmm. I can't hardly walk. I said, well, can I pray to heal you?
Right.
In the hamburger place.
Right.
And I'm telling you what, Michael, by the time that I said, can I just touch your hand?
Right.
She said, sure. I said, in the name of... And by that time, God had broken that infirmity over her body.
Amen.
It wasn't me.
Amen.
It was the boldness of the life of Christ to say he wants to show himself strong.
Amen.
On the behalf of those who believe.
Amen.
Anybody can do that.
That's right.
Anybody, any believer, any disciple can do that. Just have the boldness to take this word, to be that disciple, and to reveal the glory of Christ. That's what he did. Take, for instance, when he made water into wine. There was no gold flakes. The earth didn't shake. Nothing happened.
Yes.
The water was turned to wine. But yet it said that was the first of his miracles.
Right.
You see?
Right.
Why? The wonders of heaven. You see? And that's what we walk in. No matter how we view it, or our scale on 1 to 10, about how we put that on our scale of the power or the wonder of God, it's his glory that happens.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You see, and so that's my goal, is to excel in my relationship at home by my character and personality with my family.
Right.
That's what makes me a good disciple. My character and my relationship at my church, to deal with situations or circumstances and be sure that it's on a path toward righteousness and holiness.
Yes.
You see, it's not foolishness. It's righteousness and holiness.
Right, right.
That's what draws all men to him.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Where that kingdom is built, he
that's
said,
it.
I will draw all men
Amen.
To myself.
Amen.
You see, that's the key. And it lives in you. It lives and in hundreds of thousands and millions of people, Christ is alive and waiting for himself to be revealed to the public. You
right.
see? Yeah,
right.
everywhere.
Right.
India, Indonesia, Africa,
Amen.
Chicago, Lake Charles, you know.
Amen.
Yeah,
Amen.
He's alive.
He is
yeah,
alive.
He's alive, Brother Mike.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And the disciples, I'll tell you what, there is no greater thrill than being able to have a conversation with somebody and see that relief in their eyes that somebody really cares.
That's right.
Somebody really has compassion on me.
That's right.
You know, they're really interested in my life. And it doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't.
Can I pray
doesn't.
For you? Oh, my back hurts so bad. I was in the bank the other day, and this older gentleman came in, and mm-hmm. he was sitting down. I said, "Oh," he said, "my back hurts so mm-hmm. bad." I said, "Well, is it hurting now?" He said, "No." I said, "It's only at night, and I can't ever sleep."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, can I pray to heal you?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, well, it's not me. I don't have a sign walking out there. You know, I'm a healer or whatever.
Right.
You know, I allow God. You take the chance. Nothing's guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing guaranteed, Brother Mike.
I know.
When we go out there and we work those works that he sent us on the planet to do.
That's right.
There's no guarantee.
That's right.
But it's the boldness and the courage that he honors when I go with faith to touch that human being that he loves.
Yeah.
And whatever the result of that is, that is how it's compassed is him revealing his love.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Well, Sam, you have been out of the country before. You went to India, and you saw God move over there.
Oh, absolutely.
You saw some miraculous things happen.
Absolutely.
And you know something? Where the gospel is being preached in these third world countries, the people, they're hungry, they're desperate, and they hear the good news, and they're getting saved, and
absolutely,
they're getting healed.
Yes.
And signs and wonders are taking place, you know? But it seems like here in America, you know, God wants to do it, but it seems like it's just not as common,
mm-hmm,
you know, the healings,
sure,
and everything. And I believe there's a reason for it.
Sure. Well, you know, in the West, Mike, we dress ourselves up in nice things. We dress ourselves up in our intellect. We dress ourselves up in our money. We
mm-hmm
dress ourselves up in our social circles.
Oh, okay.
And so when it comes to that, I have masked that need for God until I go to bed and none of that is around and I'm there in bed by myself.
Right.
And when I close my eyes,
right,
only my heart beats by the power of God. And there's nothing to protect me from myself. It's just, if I'm just there with God.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. I can't see anything,
mm-hmm,
you see. So we keep ourselves protected from God by this material world around us.
Right.
And there's no desperateness.
Yeah.
There's no desperateness.
Right.
And that's why he said not many noble, not many wise, not many rich will be saved.
Right.
There'll be a few,
right,
that be saved.
So it's a big problem, I believe, Sam, of just self-sufficiency.
Sure, absolutely.
Because it's like the church at Laodicea,
mm-hmm,
that the Lord, you know,
sure,
dealt with. He said, you say you're rich. You say you don't have need of nothing,
mm-hmm,
you know. You say you're this, you say you're that, but the Lord saw this church in a much,
sure,
different light.
He said,
light.
I tell
he
you,
said,
you're
don't
poor
you,
and you're blind and you're naked.
That's right.
He said, repent, anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you can see
so
clearly.
You can see.
Yeah. And so that's what happens to us is those scales and that blindness.
Right.
But we can't see the true nature of ourselves. And it goes from the best of society to the worst. It can go down to the one hung up in the drug culture.
Yeah.
As you would think. That here they are out on the street, totally depraved and deprived, but they won't turn to God.
Yeah.
You see. So how do you determine that? I don't know. Maybe it's by the Christians on their knees who are praying before God that these things be broken over these people's lives.
Right.
Rich or poor.
Right.
Red and yellow, black and white.
Right.
You know, God, break this deception, break these lies, break these scales,
amen,
break these addictions, break this. Yeah. And so that's what Paul talked about. He said that we birth these things in.
Yes.
Even Christ himself prayed and wept on his knees, you know, that the kingdom of God would have its way, to
right,
even in his own life, you see. So, but all we have is the moment. Mike, we don't have all of these
mm-hmm
great and grandiose plans or whatever. All we have is that next moment
mm-hmm
to bring ourselves into the obedience of Christ.
Right.
And to say, Christ, how do I please you? How do I make this next step? How,
right.
Open my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Save me. Heal me. Deliver me from myself.
Amen.
Deliver me from myself
mm-hmm
and my own narrow-minded opinions.
Right.
Help me to see you clear. Cleanse me.
Right.
Wash me.
Right.
Yeah. You see? And that's why he brings up even the principle of praying for each other and confessing our sins one to another that you may be healed.
Amen.
You see? It's a powerful concept if we would just read this word and quit
mm-hmm
saying, oh, well, I go talk to Mike and Mike says, oh, well, I know.
Yeah.
Or Mike comes to me and tells me, I say, well, I know. You don't have to tell me that. I know all that.
You know, Sam, I just want to let y'all know that on Tuesday afternoon, Sam and I, we go to Friendships, and we eat Popeye's fried chicken, and we fellowship, and we pray. And Sandra's been on this program, they are over Friendships. And God has blessed that ministry miraculously. I mean, done miracle after miracle. And Don Tipton does not see himself as a great man. He is he's a humble man, but he believes God. He puts his faith in God. His faith isn't in committees. His faith isn't in, you know, getting a bunch of heads together at a table and figuring things out. His faith is in God. And that's why God is able to do the things that he has done in that ministry.
Above all that he can ask or think.
That's right.
In a tremendous way.
It is tremendous.
And that's why he takes his life out of his own hands. And that's if we would take our lives out of our own hands and rely completely on him.
Right.
It's not my money, God, it's yours. It's not my life. I didn't ask to come here. I didn't make a text. I didn't email. You brought me onto this planet.
Right.
So reveal yourself to me. Help me to be that Christian that I'm supposed to be.
Right.
Help me to be alive in you. Help me to walk as you walk. Help me to be a living testimony. Yeah, and I have to be honest with myself about that.
Amen.
And he wants to reveal himself to the people around you. All I have to do is relinquish myself to, man, I got myself in a trap here. How did I do this? In my own mind. There's that old saying. He said, how did I say that? I can't remember how that old saying goes. He said, because you're a hero in your own mind. Mm-hmm. You're a hero in your own mind. But we're not.
Right.
And we have to get away from that theory that my life is in Christ. My life belongs to you. In my own hands, I've proven that.
Yeah, right.
See, my. Yeah.
Well, Sam, you know the way of the world, you know, is to make it all about me. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. all about self.
Sure.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and now you can even churches have gotten away. Some churches have gotten away from really preaching the truth and preaching the gospel and preaching repentance, and made it about, you know,
self-help,
your best life now.
Yes.
It's all about you, that God exists, okay, for your benefit. Mm-hmm. Now that's only half the truth. Okay, we exist for God, for the glory of God. That's why God made us.
Sure.
Okay, and God will bless you.
Absolutely.
The Bible is clear about if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto us. And Jesus even said before then, he said, don't worry about this. Don't worry about this. You know, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Listen to this, Brother Mike. He says, you are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation to be revealed, wherein you greatly rejoice, though for now, if need be, you are in manifold heaviness and temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, might be tried and might be found unto the praise and honor of Christ. So life may not be that bed of roses.
That's right.
But what it's doing is perfecting that faith in me.
That's right.
That I'm developing the Christ life. I am developing, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, all of those things that build the kingdom of God inside of me.
That's right.
To be that effective, well-trained, well-developed, Christ-filled disciple, where I can go do those works that he ordained us to do. He said, I ordained you that you should go do these works. Not that I should go to church. Not that I should do whatsoever and have big meetings and all conferences. But that we would walk the streets with Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. And that's how revival starts.
Amen.
That's where the beginnings of revival is. True conversion, true repentance.
Amen.
True living the life of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. And that comes moment by moment.
Amen.
Brother Mike.
And being filled with the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
You know, once we're saved, okay, the next thing that people need to do when they get saved is be baptized.
Yes.
You know, everything that Jesus commanded is important.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, you know, we shouldn't take it anything lightly that Jesus commanded.
What was baptism? What did it say baptism is? That we what? We went down in the water and we died.
That's right.
We died to our old self.
That's right.
And what were we raised up into?
Newness of life.
Yeah. The newness of life in Christ.
Right.
You see? And so it all fits together. There goes the self. Here comes Christ in me, the hope of glory.
That's right.
You see, and that's what we're revived to. sometimes you come out of there and the Spirit of God just has His way.
That's right.
You know,
it's
a process. But either way, I become a converted Christian.
Right.
I become something that was once the old man.
That's it.
And is now a new man.
That's it.
You see. And so we develop him day by day through the trial, the tribulation, the good,
Amen.
The bad, the ugly, whatever it is.
Amen.
You know, Christ rules. Whether I live or whether I die, it's all Christ.
Amen.
You see?
You know, Sam, we went through a movement, you know, years ago. And it was necessary that we went through this because we learned how faith. We mm-hmm. learned how to live by faith.
Sure.
But there was one thing that was taught that what was not in the Word of God, that any trial you go through, you know, it's the devil.
Oh, God,
okay.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. you shouldn't be going through any trials. Now that is completely contrary to the Word of God.
Certainly.
We will go through trials.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we will. But the purpose of the trial, as you said, it's not so we'll go down, but it's really to make us stronger.
That's
it's really to perfect
That's
our
right.
faith.
That's what weightlifters do and exercisers do. They're exercised against the opposition of that weight.
Exactly.
Against that opposition of time, against that opposition of what that endeavor is.
Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely. Whatever it may be.
Whatever it may be.
Somebody you're involved in your life with that you're having. But Christ rules. No
Amen.
Matter what.
Christ
I'm
rules.
Patient. I'm kind.
That's
I'm
right.
tender. I'm joyful. Yeah.
That's
see?
It.
Yeah, absolutely.
But God doesn't want to leave us in the trial. He wants to take us through the trial.
That's it.
You know?
That's it.
And the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there's no temptation or trial that's taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tried beyond your ability, but with the temptation trial, He'll also make a way of escape.
That's right. That's right. And so we can go through some important scriptures, which you brought up at the beginning, was the Beatitudes, about the Sermon on the Mount
mm-hmm.
and the Beatitudes. And going through 2 Peter, the first chapter, and seeing those swords of development and strengthening of the kingdom of God being developed. He said that we develop holiness, without which
no man shall see the Lord.
No man shall
right.
see God.
Right.
So that is preeminent. No
holiness.
Matter where I'm going to church, whatever
yeah.
I'm doing, that holiness or that kingdom of God in me has to be preeminent,
Amen.
Michael. Love for my brother. Love for my fellow man. Love for God. Whatever it
and
takes.
And what is holiness? Is it dressing up, having our hair cut and, you know, putting on makeup or dressed in a certain way mm-hmm. or doing something outside? Is that holiness? Is that true holiness?
Oh, no. Oh, no, Michael. Yeah, no. And actually, that word had its root in saints.
Yes.
Okay? It has it because what it means is set apart
set
for God.
Apart. That's it.
It's set apart for the worship of God. So that's
right.
what I become in holiness.
That's
every
right.
day, I'm more set apart for Him to possess me.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, for His glory. Absolutely.
Amen. That's what sanctification actually
means. That's it.
Means,
sanctification,
right.
holiness, saints,
right.
they all come from that same root
right.
word, hagios. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Becoming more Christ-like, which is the purpose of sanctification, to make us more like Christ, and that is a process.
Yeah.
And we'll be in that process until we go home.
Exactly.
I mean,
that we started off on was that he said it's not that the disciple would be greater than his master, mm-hmm. but that the disciple would be as his master.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we are called. He said, "I have called you to these works."
Amen.
To reveal my glory. You see, and so that's the life of a true, well-equipped disciple,
Amen.
Brother Mike.
Amen.
And you know what, Brother Mike, just a little passing thing. That stuff just does not rub off on you because you hang around a certain crowd.
Right.
It's something that you have to be on your knees and disciplined
exactly.
to have Christ working in you and the Spirit of God working, the Word of God working in you to produce the power to make that change.
Amen. Sam, we got a couple minutes left.
Go ahead, my brother.
I would like you, Sam, to go ahead and just give those that are listening to the program, pray, maybe give just a short exhortation.
There is nothing that can keep you from the love of God.
Amen.
Nothing can keep you from the love of God. So
Amen.
I ask you today, just all of the things that may be causing complexities in your life, mm-hmm. the worries, even if you have a good relationship, that you just open up your heart now and say, I put all of this aside, even my well-being. And I ask you, God, I ask you, Christ, I ask you, Holy Spirit, create in me a clean heart.
Yes.
Create in me a clean heart. Come visit me. Come live in me. Make me real. Make me alive. Make me, help me to understand and see you so that I can be a true witness for you.
Yes.
I ask you to heal the things in my life that are broken and the things that are not going well or whatever disease it may make. God, come in and heal and set free, Lord, and deliver and make whole right now, in the name of Jesus. That heart, that mind, Lord, that body, in the name of Jesus, would come underneath the power and the glory of that name.
Yes.
And we thank you for it, Father, that you visit the people right now in the hearing of our voices,
yes, Lord,
that they have received and understood the greatness and the glory of what Mike and I have discussed today. You would receive Christ and live and walk in him and have your being.
Yes, Lord.
Let him breathe on you now and receive the breath of God. In
Jesus' name.
He is great and worthy to be praised, Brother Mike.
Amen. Hallelujah. Sam, thank you, brother.
Thank you,
Thanks,
sir.
Thanks for coming.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I like being here with you, Mike.
And we're going to have you back.
Absolutely.
Amen. God bless you. Stay tuned for the next 9 o'clock. Thank Brother Ray.
And thank Brother Ray for being here.
Everything he's doing.
Master of the control.
He makes it possible for us to do what we're doing.
I'm telling you what. Absolutely.
God bless you.
You've been listening to the first segment of Church and State. Heard at this time every weekday, Monday through Friday on KELB 100.5.